So finally, President Trump's big beautiful bill is here. It's one of the biggest and most controversial bills of his presidency. And now it has been signed into a law on 4th July. Now it is called One Big Beautiful Bill Act. So what's inside this bill? What promises did Trump make? And what's actually happening now? Let's break it down. Last year during his campaign, Trump made some bold promises. He said, no tax on tips, no tax on seniors' social security, no tax on overtime pay. He also promised to renew his 2017 tax cuts, adjust the salt cap, shut down tax breaks for billionaire sports team owners, close the carried interest loophole, and offer tax cuts for Made in America products. Basically, make it the biggest tax cut in US history, especially for the middle class. Big words, right? Fast forward today, the bill has passed the House, then got some modifications in the Senate, and even President Trump has signed it, so it is a law now. So what did the American citizens actually get? Number 1. No tax on tips. If you work in a job where you get tips, like waiters, delivery drivers, barbers, from 2025 to 2028, up to $25,000 of tips will be tax-free. Not directly removed, but through a tax deduction. Which means you first report your full income, let's say your salary plus tips. Then you subtract up to $25,000 in tips from your taxable income. So you still report the tips, but the taxable part of your income is reduced. So let's say you earn $100,000 in salary and $10,000 in tips. You will report $110,000, but you will get to deduct the $10,000 tips. So your taxable income is still $100,000. So the smart move by the government is, you are still reporting tips, but you get to reduce your taxable income. Think of it as a carrot approach instead of a stick. Rather than cracking down on unreported tips, which is hard to monitor, now the US government is saying, hey, if you report them, we will reward you by not taxing the first $25,000. Many people in the US don't fully report their tips, especially when those tips are received in cash. Tips through cards are automatically tracked by employers and reported to the IRS. Second point, no tax on overtime pay. Same logic applies here. You work extra hours. Overtime pay up to $12,500 per year is tax-free from 2025 to 2028. Again, it's a deduction, not an exemption, but still useful. For many working-class families, these two deductions alone could mean more take-home money. Since there are two main types of extra work, if you are doing overtime in formal jobs, all working hours, including overtime, are tracked and taxed. But in side gigs, informal extra work, this is where underreporting usually happens. So again, it is to incentivize to come clean and report your every earnings. By the way, when I keep mentioning the years, it means these provisions will expire after December 31st, 2028. Third point, car loan interest deduction. This one is interesting, especially for people who buy cars. From 2025 to 2028, you can deduct up to $10,000 per year in car loan interest. But only if your car was assembled in the US and it has to be a new car, not used. Imported cars will not get this benefit. Even electric cars assembled in the US are eligible. It's kind of like saying buy American, get rewarded. Again, the main idea behind this policy is to incentivize Americans to buy products made in the United States, thereby supporting domestic manufacturing and job creation. Fourth point, senior citizen tax boost. Trump wanted to make senior citizens' Social Security income tax free. It is a monthly money that retired Americans, usually over 65 years of age, get from the US government, like a pension. These people have to pay their pension during their whole working life through Social Security tax under Federal Insurance Contribution Act. And after retirement, they get regular payments per month. That's called Social Security income. So Trump wanted to make Social Security income 100% tax free. But that didn't happen because Congress rules did not allow it. Congress did not allow a full exemption because they feel this will reduce federal revenue to a great extent. This will increase the federal deficit and debt. So what they did was, instead of removing it completely, they gave senior citizens a little tax relief. People aged 65 and older will get an extra $6,000 added to their standard deduction. So the bigger your deduction, the less tax you pay. Let's say you are a senior earning $40,000 a year. Normally, the standard deduction might be around $14,000. With the new rule, you get $14,000 plus $6,000 is equal to $20,000 deduction. Now, this starts in 2025 and goes until 2028. If you see, this is not what Trump promised, but still helps lower the tax burden for many retirees. Point number 5. Salt deduction cap raised. Salt here means state and local taxes. These are the taxes you pay to your state government, like California or New York, and your local city town. When you file your federal taxes, you are allowed to deduct some of what you already paid in state and local taxes, so you don't get taxed twice on the same money. Previously, you could deduct only $10,000 in state and local taxes. For example, let's say you live in New York or California and paid, say, $25,000 in property plus income tax. You only deduct $10,000. Now, the new rule says if your yearly income is under $500,000, you can now deduct up to $40,000 in SALT instead of just $10,000. Let me give you a real-life example. Suppose you earn $150,000 in a year. You paid $30,000 in total state and property taxes. Under old rules, you could only deduct $10,000. Under new rules, you can now deduct all $30,000 and maximum up to $40,000. But if you make more than $500,000, this benefit does not apply. So if you see, it helps middle and upper middle class people. In high tax states, they save more on their federal taxes. Now, this will slowly phase back to $10,000 by 2029. Sixth point, Child Tax Credit, CTC. For non-US people, the Child Tax Credit is the money the US government gives parents to help them raise kids. But then there are some conditions. Your child has to be under 17 years old, has to live with you more than half the year, and should have a valid social security number. Right now, it is $2,000 per child. This new bill increases it to $2,200 per child permanently. Starting in 2026, it will adjust to inflation too. But here's the catch. The Child Tax Credit is based on the parents' income level. To qualify for any refundable portion of the Child Tax Credit, a family must have at least $2,500 per year in earned income. If it is below, you are not eligible. And for the non-US people, to your surprise, let me tell you, there are millions of people in the US who earn $2,500 or less per year. So this policy helps, but not equally for everyone. In a nutshell, the higher your income, the smaller your Child Tax Credit. And after a certain point, you may get nothing at all. And on the opposite side of the spectrum, some of the poorest kids don't get the full Child Tax Credit because their families don't make enough income to qualify for the refundable portion. These two are the truth behind the Child Tax Credit. Point number 7. Medicaid reforms. Now, this is a big one. Remember, Democrats, especially Obama, has consistently advocated for Medicaid expansion. So to qualify for Medicaid, you need to be aged between 19 to 64. And then you must either work, volunteer, or go to school, or if you are in some job training, you need to work at least 80 hours per month. Then you will need to show proof of income and residency twice a year. Now, these are some stricter eligibility rules that have been added. Trump has decided to cut $800 billion for Medicaid over the next 10 years. Now, it is said that up to 12 million Americans could lose access to healthcare as a result of the cuts and policy changes. Also, immigrants, including some refugees, will face stricter rules. And then some states that offer healthcare to undocumented immigrants will get penalized. So, if you see, the critics to this policy would be unemployed, racial minorities, immigrants and refugee, religious minorities, Democrats and left-leaning groups, healthcare advocates and professionals, rural Americans. This broad and diverse demographic group, along with Democrats, who are their political head, are the real critics to this Medicaid reforms. And those who are in support say, it encourages self-reliance and responsibility. Work builds dignity, prevents misuse, saves taxpayers money, pushes the states to reform. At the end of the day, Medicaid reform is not a ban, it's a shift. The goal is not to take healthcare away, but to tie benefits to effort. Point number 8. Policy changes in SNAP. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program or food stamps. The same work rule applies here. You have to work or volunteer, go to school, or if you're in some job training, you need to work for at least 80 hours per month to receive SNAP. Now, inflation adjustment to SNAP will also slow down because food prices rise with time. The new law includes major cuts to SNAP funding, about $186 billion over the next decade. That means there will be reduced benefits for millions of Americans, especially low-income families, working families and children. And again, people are split on whether this is fair or harmful. Point number 9. Student loan limits. There is no student loan debt cancellation, but borrowing limits are now imposed. That is, graduate students can borrow up to a lifetime cap of $100,000 in federal loans. And medical and law students, that is professional degrees, have a higher cap, up to $200,000 in total federal loans, including any undergraduate borrowing. Now, previously, students could borrow up to the full cost of attendance through Grad Plus loan scheme with no limit. The new law eliminates the Grad Plus program and replaces it with strict borrowing limit. Point number 10, energy policy shift. Now, green energy takes a hit. This new bill reduces tax credits for solar panels and other green energy upgrades. Instead, there is a shift in support towards oil, gas, and nuclear energy. President Trump has stated the US will rely on oil, gas, coal, and nuclear to meet energy needs. Some states can make people pay extra money if they use a lot of electricity, especially those with home solar panels or who use a lot of electricity. This helps the state cover the cost of running the electric grid and make up for lost money when people use less electricity from the power company. Point number 11, retirement changes to Roth IRA and TRSA. In America, IRA is a special savings account that helps people save for retirement and pay less tax while doing it. So basically, you put in pre-tax money, the money you don't pay tax on it now. You pay tax later when you withdraw in retirement. This was the traditional way. Now, you put in money after taxes, but then your money grows tax-free and you don't pay any tax when you withdraw after age 59 and a half. This new way is called Roth IRA. Now, what happens is that some high-income people are not allowed to directly use Roth IRAs because they earn too much. And they seem to have found a loophole. So they use a trick. They first put money in a traditional IRA, which is allowed for all, and then immediately convert it into a Roth IRA. This is called the backdoor method. But the new rule says this backdoor Roth IRA strategy ends in 2026. So high earners may lose this loophole. Instead, Trump has brought a new rule, which is called TRSA, Trump Retirement and Savings Account. Now there is no income limit to contribute in this account. You can invest up to $5,000 per child until the year the child turns 18. The US government will give $1,000 per baby born between 2025 to 2028. Funds must be invested in US stock market index funds. So basically, you are investing in Trump's account. Trump is going to be your fund manager. It's kind of like planting a seed for your child's future. For example, $1,000 at birth could grow up to $148,000 by age 65. Point number 12. Benefits for the wealthy. Rich people are not left out. Those making $100 million per year will get a 3% after-tax income increase, which equals about $75,000 per year extra. And then the SOL deduction cap is raised to $40,000 for individuals. If you are wealthy, you usually donate to charity and then deduct the amount from your taxable income, right? But now under the new law, rich people won't get as much tax benefit from donating to charity as they used to. The deduction still exists, but it is less valuable for them. This is meant to stop the ultra-rich from using huge donations as a way to avoid paying taxes. Some wealthy people donate to charity not just out of kindness, but also for strategic reasons like tax saving, influencing policy or public opinion through foundations or non-profit, then building reputation or legacy, gaining access to elite circles, politics or media, then pushing agendas like funding think tank, lobbying groups or advocacy organizations. So what the government is trying to do now is that by reducing the value of charitable deductions for the rich, the government is basically saying you can still give, but we are not going to reward you as much in tax breaks, especially if it is part of a power game. And while charitable deductions shrink a bit for the rich, but if you are a middle income person and you don't itemize deductions, you just take the standard deduction, then you normally get no extra benefit for giving to charity. But now you can deduct up to $2,000 in charitable donations, even if you don't itemize your taxes. So at the end of the day, what's the total cost? The bill is estimated to add over $3 trillion to the deficit in 10 years. But 10 years is a long period. So how will the US government cover the deficit? The primary way this deficit is covered is through additional government borrowing. That means more money printing, which increases the national debt as well as inflation. So who is going to be the real winner? The bigger benefits of this new bill will be for those who own real estate, stocks, Bitcoin or gold. Now, if you see, not a single Democrat voted for this bill. But since Republican controls the House, Senate and presidency, they passed it. It is the same way how Democrats passed the Biden's Inflation Reduction Act without Republican votes on August 7, 2022. And what about the public? Some Republicans love it, some hate it. Some Democrats oppose it strongly, a few actually support parts of it. So yes, it's politics as usual, but the impacts, they are real, they are big, and they are coming very soon. This bill touches everything from an American citizen's paycheck to their parents' retirement, from their grocery bills to their kids' future savings. Some say it's the most pro-worker, pro-family bill ever. Others say it's a gift to the rich and a disaster waiting to happen. In the end, this bill could be a lifeline or a loaded trap. One thing is for sure, it's not just policy anymore. It's personal. Either it secures America's future or lights the fuse on a delayed debt bomb. This was the brief summary of the US President Donald Trump's big beautiful bill. I hope you found this video informative. Thanks for watching. I'll see you in the next one.